You've got a Bible with you, can you turn with me to Galatians chapter 5 verse 13, please. Galatians chapter 5 verse 13 to 26. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. The acts of the flesh are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. For those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. This is God's word for us. Now, last week, if you were here, you heard Jacqueline bring an excellent message about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Today, I want to speak about another aspect of the Holy Spirit, which is the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit is about your character. Now, while gifts are important in bringing breakthrough in your life, character is important in order to sustain that breakthrough. So while the operation of the gifts, knowledge or healing or miracles, can bring you to a new place, can give you a breakthrough, can give you a promotion, can give you a position, can bring you to a place of new influence, your gift alone will not keep you in that place. You need character in order to keep you. As Joyce Meyer said, never allow your gift to take you where your character cannot keep you. And so while your gift might get you somewhere, only character will keep you there in the long term. Now, what's character? Character has to do with your moral strength. It's got to do with your integrity and your honesty and your loyalty and your longevity, your ability to last the course, and your trustworthiness. That's character. Character is being able to keep your word even though it costs you. That's what character is, when you can keep your promise. And we've heard a great deal about promises over this last week. We've heard about things set in stone, and we've heard about red lines, and we've heard about promises, and all sorts of promises have been made to the electorate. But we know from past experience that many of these promises will not be kept. which is one of the reasons why people get disillusioned with politics. And unfortunately, it's also one of the reasons why people get disillusioned with church. Because just like the church at Corinth, which was an amazingly gifted church, Paul said to the church at Corinth, he said, "You don't lack any spiritual gift." They had the whole bag. They had everything. But you know what he said to them also? He said, "I couldn't address you as spiritual people because there was factions, there was envy, there was incest, there was some pretty awful stuff going off in the church at Corinth." So while they had a plethora of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, they actually didn't have great character. And if a church doesn't have character, people's confidence in the church is undermined. People won't trust the church because we simply haven't got trustworthiness. And so churches that bite and devour and divide undermine the confidence not only of their own members, but the confidence of people outside the church as well. Now, while you can receive a gift in an instant of time, you don't receive character in an instant. Character is something that grows over years, and it is developed by overcoming. So therefore, pain, I hesitate to use that word, pain and struggle and endurance and perseverance are important ingredients in the development of your character. Character is summed up best by Paul's list of the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians 5. He says, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, forbearance, forbearing with one another, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and self-control." These are the fruit of the Spirit. But there are all kinds of fruit in the Christian life. So let's not limit fruit to the fruit of the Spirit. There's the fruit of evangelism and witnessing. There's the fruit of our lips, which is praise and worship of God. There's the fruit of our labor, and there's the fruit of our attitudes. Summed up in its entirety, this kind of fruit is the evidence of the likeness of Christ in our lives. Character is the likeness of Jesus in your life. What an amazing thing it is for your gift to take you somewhere. What an amazing, I know you feel wonderful when you see somebody healed or you see somebody make a breakthrough. That's a wonderful feeling. Yeah, I pray you all experience that, that you have the experience of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in all of our lives. But it's like when I applied for a job, my gift got me into the job. I went for 3 jobs in my life, 3 different schools, and I got them each time. My gift got me there, but my gift didn't keep me there, because as well as being able to teach, I also had to show up on time. Yeah? I also had to learn to follow the policies of the school. I had to learn to control myself, because I just couldn't go and give that lad a kick up the backside when I felt like it. Even after he had done a Mooney at me. I just couldn't. I had to exercise self-control. So there is a difference between your gift getting you somewhere and how you stay in that place. How do you maintain your ministry? How do you keep yourself in the place that your gift has taken you to? It's called Christ-likeness. It's self-control. It's perseverance, even under great difficulties. When I was a teacher, I underwent great difficulties. because of the school I was in. But I had to persevere and I had to endure. Now many Christians feel they shouldn't endure and they shouldn't persevere. If I don't like something and this is causing me too much pain, well, I'm sorry, but I'm out of here. Yeah, that's the attitude of many Christians. And for that reason, we never grow in our ministry. We never maintain our ministry. Now, if I asked you this question, from the following list, what would you put at the top of the list? Is it, number one, church attendance? Is it prayer? Is it Bible reading? Is it tithing? Is it gifts of the Holy Spirit? Or is it fruit of the Holy Spirit? What would you put at the top of that list from all those five or six things? If I'm reading your thoughts correctly, I think, I may be wrong here, but I think you would probably put fruit at the top of the list. Christ-likeness is at the top of the list. And we can easily justify that by saying, you know, Jesus, he said, you know, in his words in Matthew's gospel, the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength and all your mind. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So love, which sums up all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, would be justified by the words of Jesus. But this morning, let me compare you to a fruit tree, let's say a vine. Now, Jesus said, he said in John 15, verse 5, he said, I am the vine and you are the branches. So we're like a fruit tree. He's the vine, we are plugged into him. We are the branches. If you remain in me and my words, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So let me challenge our thinking this morning by comparing the Christian who wants to bear fruit to a fruit tree. Okay, not a fruit case, a fruit tree. Fruit trees have three priorities. Number one is survival. Number two is growth. And number three is fruit bearing. Survival, growth, fruit bearing. This is the process by which a tree bears fruit. Survival, growth, and then finally fruit. In this sense, fruit comes last, not first. And today, I am teaching that in order to bear fruit as a Christian, to develop character, you must first of all survive. It's survival as a Christian. That's the first thing. The second thing is growth as a Christian. And when you survive and when you start to grow, then you begin to bear fruit. Many Christians don't bear fruit because they are in survival mode. If you are in survival mode, you will find it very difficult to bear fruit. Now, this doesn't like take a lifetime, because you can actually start bearing fruit quite quickly. Once you learn to survive and dig your roots deep in Christ and begin to do the habits of spiritual growth, you can begin to bear fruit. It can happen relatively quickly. So let's talk first of all about survival. The first amount of nourishment that comes into a tree is used for its survival. When the tree is in survival mode, it doesn't bear fruit. To bear fruit, you must go through a process of survival and growth in the Christian life. You have to hang in there. As Churchill said, never, 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 never give up. Hang in there. Many never survive but get snatched away almost as soon as they are born again. How many people do we see coming to evangelism events? Barry Woodward, or Roy Todd, or Mark Ritchie. And almost as soon as they walk out the door, they have forgotten about the decision or the commitment that they have taken. Why? Because the enemy is alert and alive and wants to steal the word of God away from their lives. 1 Peter 5:8 says, "Be alert and sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking for someone to devour." Not talking about killing you physically. He's talking about snatching the word of God away from your life. We read in Matthew chapter 13, verses 3 to 7, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some seed fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. In all these cases, the seed of the word of God fell on unproductive soil. In the first case, it fell along the path. So the word was not taken inside. It was not taken seriously. It was taken lightly and not seriously. So the devil was easily able to come and snatch that word away almost as soon as the word had been planted there, because the soil that was presented to it was not good soil. We have to present good soil, the good soil of our lives to God, so that the word of God can take root, can grow, and then can bear fruit. And then there was the soil, the seed that fell on the rocky places. These are people who allow life's difficulties. As soon as you become a Christian, you know, you will experience difficulties. You will have problems. It's not like it's all a bed of roses. Sometimes the Christian message is presented through rose-tinted spectacles. And the Christian life is not like that. I want you to know that you will experience temptations, you will experience tests, you will experience pressure in your life of all descriptions. It doesn't stop you being human, but it does give you a power to be able to confront the pressures of life that life places upon you. But some people, they allow the devil to snatch the word away because they don't bury it deeply inside of themselves. And so life's difficulties, life's problems, life's anxieties, problems over money, problems over family, problems over children, problems over school, all sorts of problems, they just crowd in and they crush the word of God in a person's life. And then there's the seed that fell among the thorns, and that the thorns are the worldly things. Materialism and money and stuff like that, it becomes people's priority or remains people's priority. And they, you see, Jesus said, you can't serve God and mammon. You can't serve God and money. So when you become a Christian, your priorities have to change. And God becomes your priority. Serving God, you know, with your money. Fantastic if God makes you a millionaire, but learn to serve God with your money. A guy called Jack Welch is the much celebrated former chairman of and CEO of General Electric in the States. In 2006, his net worth was estimated to be $720 million. When he retired, he took a retirement payment of $417 million, the largest such payment in history. Since his retirement, he's written several best-selling books. He's shared his knowledge about business with many, many people, but he's also gone through a very messy and public divorce that revealed his retirement package. We wouldn't have known about it if he hadn't gone through the divorce. And his retirement package was a remarkable assortment of luxurious lifestyle perks that made headlines in the States. Several years ago, Jack Welch suffered a massive heart attack that almost killed him. After his retirement, he was asked what he had learned from the experience of coming face to face with his own mortality. Do you know what this businessman, this genius, this guru said? He said, "I learned I didn't spend enough money." Now, people thought he was joking, but when he was pressed, he said that after his illness, he vowed never again to drink wine that cost less than $100 a bottle. And he was completely serious. Now, you may think this morning, let's not judge the man, but on the face of it, this is not the kind of soil that God's word can thrive on. On good soil, the word of God can take root, it can survive, and it can grow. To survive, you have to present the good soil of your life to God. Otherwise, the word will get snatched away. Even, you know, what's shared here on a Sunday morning, it gets snatched away. And nobody and people very often fail to put anything into practice. You must have a real desire to please God, not a desire to please self or even to please other people. The first priority of our lives is to please God. So you won't thrive if you don't present the good soil of your life to God.